And good morning, friends. I'm so glad you came to church today. Are you glad too? And I'm glad that people who have not been with us for some time because you've been on vacation have gone to church anyway. I'm holding two bulletins here that were just given to me from people who attended other churches. This is proof they were there. You wouldn't mind being where they were. Jamaica, how about that? Richard and Thelma, congratulations. And you went to church both on July 31st and August the 5th. And so that's wonderful proof they were there. Speaking of Jamaica, they did pretty well, didn't they, in the races and the Olympics? And here we are. My summer is really wearing away, isn't it? This is August the 12th already. In just another 3 weeks, are you excited? Pastor Jonathan is going to be here. Now, his daddy is going to preach that first Sunday morning, and that's going to be good too, isn't it, to have Pastor Phil back again. And Jonathan and Lori and the family are going to be here. But would you pray for Pastor Jonathan, who's preaching today and next Sunday and the next Sunday as well in his present church before he comes here? And if you'd like to hear him, go to your internet and check on Calvary Baptist Church, Oshawa, and you'll be able to bring up their website and punch the right button, and you can hear him what he's going to preach this morning. But I'd like you to think about the fact that today is August the 12th, and it's interesting that this morning in our Sunday school class, Pastor John Rush taught us from Isaiah chapter 12. Now, I'd like you to turn with me to Romans chapter 12 on this, the August the 12th, because here is our text for today, especially verses 15 and 16. And as you look at these two verses, I want to talk to you about Christ's lordship of my attitudes. Have you ever met anybody with a bad attitude? Oh, three or four of you. An attitude is, I don't have to explain it. You know what it is, don't you? That person has an attitude. Everybody has an attitude, either good or not so good. And these two verses describe to us how to have a godly attitude. Now, the next slide is going to show you these verses so we can all read it together. And I'd like you to stand with me in honor of our Lord who gave us this wonderful word. And let's read in a big voice. Will you do that? You sang heartily. Now let's speak God's word heartily together. Everyone, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Say, that said something, didn't it? Would you read that with me again, just to make sure that we understood it? This morning in Sunday school class, our teacher told us that in the Old Testament, the way to emphasize something is to say it more than once. Now, I'd like you to emphasize this scripture since it's short, but it's got such a powerful word for us. Let's say it again, this time with that big voice. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Let's pray. O Heavenly Father, thank you that the great teacher is here this morning, the Holy Spirit. May he guide us into an understanding of your wonderful truth. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, Amen. Amen. Thank you, friends. You may be seated. I'd like for you to see this next slide. The International Space Station. How many have ever seen that? A few of you have actually seen it. This week, Adrian and I actually saw it on Tuesday night and again on Thursday night as we were looking up into the heavens. The reason I knew is because I went to my computer and typed out, and if you want to do this, just go to Google and ISS sightings. And it'll bring up a page where you can click on Ontario and then click on Cambridge, and then it will show you the exact times when the International Space Station is going to go over our heads, which happens about every 90-plus minutes. But not always. Right now, it's happening. And then in a few weeks, it'll be coming back again because it hits many different parts of the world. But we watched it. In fact, if you'd like to see it tonight, if it's clear, you can. It'll be showing up again at 9:27 p.m. And if you look in the north-northwest and you just stand there at 9:27, and sure enough, you'll see this white. It's like a big star just coming across the sky, and you think there's some guys in that thing. But that's what you're looking at right there. Did you notice? Now, it just looks like a big round white ball when you're looking at it coming across. But this is what it looks like up close. And you notice all those solar panels? And those solar panels are made so that as space station is going around the Earth, those things turn in such a way that they pick up the maximum amount of sunlight. And so we call that attitude. If the sun's over there, the solar panels go like this to be able to pick up the power. And the message this morning is, I hope you've got your solar panels turned to the sun of righteousness, Jesus Christ. And if you do, you'll have the right attitude. Now, let's think about that together. In your bulletin, you'll find a pumpkin-colored sheet that maybe can help you to take a few notes today so that we can understand and remember what we're learning today. As you look at this passage of Scripture, I want you to think with me, first of all, about some examples of attitudes. The Bible has a number of illustrations of people with different kinds of attitudes. For instance, in Genesis chapter 31 and verse 2, we meet a man by the name of Laban, and he has a resentful attitude. You know, he had a son-in-law by the name of Jacob, and after a while, he began to kind of look funny at Jacob. That's what it says in Genesis 31, verse 2. It says, Jacob saw that the countenance, that's the face, of Laban, and he saw it was not favorable toward him as before. Another translation says, Jacob noticed that Laban's attitude toward him was not what it had been. And his solar panels were changed. And so it's possible, and have you ever seen a person with kind of a resentful attitude? Now here's another attitude. A cold attitude. And this is Solomon. You read about that in 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 9 to 11. Let me begin with verse 9. So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord. Uh-oh. His attitude had changed. He had been, first of all, in his early years, walking warmly with the Lord. But now his attitude has changed. The thing that happened was because of the people that he brought into his life who did not know the Lord. And they influenced him. Did you realize you can be influenced by other people so that your attitude, maybe a week ago or a year ago or a few years ago, you were walking in a wonderful, warm fellowship with Jesus Christ. But now, because of the influence of the society around you, your attitude has changed and you get cold. That's what happened here. Notice what it says. So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart attitude had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing that he would not go after other gods. But he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Therefore, the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this, you have not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded you, I will surely tear away the kingdom from you and give it to your servant. Wow! Attitude makes all the difference. And when your attitude starts to wane and you're not hot for God, would you just ask the Lord right now, oh God, I want to be hot for you. I want to love you with all of my heart. We were just singing that today, weren't we? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And if you're not doing that, your attitude turns from the Lord and you begin to get cold. And that happened to a very good man. He was considered the wisest man in all the world, and yet he became a fool. And let me tell you this, you may have the brains of an Einstein, but if you haven't given your heart to Jesus Christ, you are a fool. And that's what happened to Solomon. His heart grew cold. Now, I want you to see something else. Here's another attitude a person could have. I call it a furious attitude. If you look at the book of Daniel in chapter 3, you remember the story about the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Somebody said, shake the bed, make the bed, and to bed we go. But the story is about Nebuchadnezzar, this great man who was the king of the universe almost. He thought he was, and of the known world at that day, he was the big numero uno, number one, Nebuchadnezzar. And he became furious at these three young men because they would not bow down to his golden image. And you read about that in verse 19 of chapter 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. He was furious. And the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, he spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. Wow. Furious. Have you ever seen a person with a furious attitude? Now, here's another attitude. I prefer this. And if you look at Ezra chapter 6 and verse 22, we find the children of Israel coming back to the land of Israel. Ezra is now leading them, and we read this, for 7 days they celebrated with joy the feast of unleavened bread because the Lord had turned the heart of the king of Assyria. He turned it toward them. Instead of being hostile to them, he turned the heart of this great king toward them to bless them. One translation says, because the Lord had filled them with joy by changing the attitude of the king of Assyria so that he assisted them in the work of the house of God. So that was an encouraging attitude. And you know, I saw a lot of that already today as I was moving among the hallways here and chatting with people. And there's something about a smile, something about an encouraging word. Did you feel it already? I hope you have today. Those are just a few examples of attitudes. But now, I want you to come with me to examining my attitudes. What's your attitude? Well, let's be honest. Sometimes I have negative attitudes. Is that right? Even God's people? Well, I want you to look at some of Jesus' disciples. Chapter 9 of Mark, verse 34, says this. Well, it should start with verse 33. Then Jesus came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "Hey guys, what was it you disputed among yourselves on the road?" But they, that's the disciples, kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. Look at verse 50. And here's the attitude. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? So Jesus says, have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. Get along, guys. Have a good attitude towards each other. But they were having negative attitudes. Did you realize that can even happen among God's people? How sad it is when it happens in a congregation where God's people don't get along with each other. Can I give a little testimony, though? Adrian and I have now been with you for almost 8 months, and thank you for this privilege of teaming with you in this interim period before your dear Pastor Jonathan Stairs arrives. But I and Adrian and I have both sensed a wonderful sense of unity and harmony in the family of God. Isn't it wonderful to be a part of a congregation like that? But this warning, it only takes one of us to start complaining, getting a negative spirit, and our attitude. You know, attitudes are kind of like the measles. They're catching. And if somebody has a miserable attitude, it's so easy, unless you've been vaccinated by the Holy Spirit, to keep a positive attitude. It's just easy for all of us in the flesh, in our natural fallen state, to also be downers and negative people. And may God help us all to continue to have what I sense here, this positive spirit focused on who Jesus is and what he's done for us through his death on the cross and his resurrection. What a life we've got. What a glorious reason to be positive instead of negative. But I want you to see something else about in examining our attitudes. And it's good to ask that question. Am I harboring a negative attitude, even this morning, while I'm sitting here in church? It's possible for that to happen. And if it is, stop it. Oh, I talked like a father, didn't I? Yeah, stop it. Turn around. Change the attitude of your solar panels. And soak up the love of Jesus Christ. And allow the joy of the Lord instead of the negative spirit to flow through you. Now, here's another thing as we examine our attitudes. I am to have empathy for others. Now, let's go to our text and look at it. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And you were rejoicing as we heard about the baby that was born and new grandparents we've got here today. And we all rejoice with news like that. And we should. And that's what it says, rejoice with those who rejoice. It also says, weep with those who weep. And we feel the pain when somebody else in our fellowship is going through a tough time. And it may be that you're bearing a special burden in your heart today. I must tell you that I was approached this morning by a couple of dear friends who feel a great burden in their hearts, a burden so big that it even brings tears. And I feel that. And we should feel that. Can you do both those things, rejoicing and weeping at the same time? Yes. Both of those things should be happening in our lives. It's interesting that Jesus felt the pain of Martha and Mary when their brother Lazarus died. And the shortest verse in English in the Bible is John 11, verse 35, which says two words. What does it say? Jesus wept. He felt the anguish. but also he knew the joy. He celebrated at the wedding at the feast of Cana of Galilee, and he knew the joy of that is expressed in several places throughout the scriptures. Jesus knew the heights and the lows. And even before he died on the cross, he spoke the night before he was crucified about the exceeding joy that he had in his heart, because he knew what would be accomplished as a result of his dying on the cross for you and me. It would mean salvation extended to you, to you, to you, to all of us, to the world. And so Jesus knew and knows the joys and the heartaches he feels. There's a song that says, "Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song, and the burdens press and the cares distress, and the days are weary and long? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares." Jesus has empathy for you. And God wants you and me to have empathy for each other. That's an interesting word, isn't it? Empathy. It's a word that has to do with, in the middle of that word is pathos, P-A-T-H, path, and the emp means in. He says, and pathos means feeling. I'm feeling in there with you. There's another word we call sympathy. Empathy, and that means I'm in tune with you, with your pain and with your feelings. Sympathy, but empathy even goes deeper than sympathy. I'm right in there with you in what it is, and that's what's being taught here. Sometimes we say, "Isn't that pathetic?" And that there's that same Greek word again, pathos, which has to do with feelings. Arousing pity. But may God give us that pathos, that empathy of feeling with each other, whether it's joy or sorrow. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Now I'd like you to think with me about something else here as we examine our own attitudes. I am to live in harmony with others. Look at it in verse 16. Be of the same mind towards one another. Another translation says, have the same attitude with each other. And be in harmony. Harmony is a beautiful thing. Melody is beautiful. And harmony is, I kind of embellishes the beauty of the melody. And when you have, for instance, I noticed that you were playing the piano today and you didn't just use one finger just playing the melody line. You played all kinds of notes there. And all of those notes were in sympathy with the melody. And that's what God intends to happen in our fellowship, in our homes, wherever we are relating with other people, and in particular in God's family, to have harmony, live in harmony. It says in the King James Version, be of the same mind. But another translation says, live in harmony with each other. This is a very practical section here. It says, be of the same mind with one another. It's interesting to study the one another's in the Bible. In fact, there are a number of them here in the book of, in this chapter. For instance, in chapter 10, it says, be kindly affectioned toward one another. And also in verse 10, it says, give preference to one another, or honor one another above yourselves. Here in verse 16, it says, be of the same mind or live in harmony with each other. In chapter 13 and verse 8 of Romans, if you were to just look over a little bit there, it talks about us loving one another. And in chapter 14 and verse 19, it tells us to edify one another, to feed each other. And in chapter 15 and verse 5, it says that we should be like-minded one toward another. And in chapter 15 and verse 7, it says to receive one another or accept one another. And in chapter 15, verse 14, it says admonish one another or be competent to instruct one another. So God wants us to do a lot of another things with each other, one another, all these beautiful expressions that we find here. And that all has to do with living in sympathy. On occasion, I take Adrian to some of those beautiful concerts with the KW Symphony Orchestra at the Center in the Square in Kitchener. And it's amazing, all those different instruments, and everybody knows just how to play his or her instrument so well, but they do it not as solos, but as a whole orchestra together. And just, it blends so beautifully. And God intends for a church family to be. Every one of you plays some kind of an instrument, whether it's musical or otherwise. And as we've said before, the most important instruments you have are the ones built right into you. You're all the members of your body. And God wants us to use all of these instruments to be a blessing to one another and thus bring glory to God. So I am to live in harmony with others. I want you to see something else, and I failed to put this in the notes, but I'm going to put it on the screen. You can write it in. Letter D, I am to be humble. And you'll see that also in verse 16. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. So I am to be humble. That is an attitude that means, you see, the big word, it's a five-letter word, P-R-I-D-E. What does that spell? Pride. And may I tell you this, pride is the original sin. It was the original sin of Lucifer in heaven, one of the archangels that God had made, who determined, I want to be taking God's place. I want to put myself up there where he is. And pride was the reason why he was thrown out of heaven. And it was a self-thinking pride that crawled into the hearts of Adam and Eve that made them think we don't have to obey what God said about this simple matter of, oh, just a little thing, eating a piece of fruit off of that tree. That's just so small and tiny. Oh, is it? And they disobeyed God, but it all welled up because of pride. And did you realize that every sin flows from the spirit of pride, putting ourselves first, putting our own wishes in front of God's beautiful, fulfilling purposes for our lives. And so I am to be humble, and that's what it says here, especially now as it relates to other people. And so I read it again. Do not set your mind on high things. Don't be proud, but associate with the humble. It's interesting to see our reaction toward different people, isn't it? And I'm grateful for how you receive each other. Some folks who maybe do not have all the capacities, physically or mentally, that you have, but to be able to embrace them anyway. God's been teaching me that through these past 48 years or so now since we began the ministry of Christian Horizons. And in our care now are about 1,400 special needs people across Ontario who are in our care in over 240 of our our residences and programs that we have in Christian Horizons. And many of these precious people might be shunned at times by others, and yet when you think of this, every human being has been made in the image of God. And that's why every person is precious, no matter what their capacities may be. We are human beings. We are not human doings. Now, we are human beings made to be able to do, but the being who you are, made in the image of God, makes you exceedingly precious. What makes you different from a cat or a dog? Made of the same stuff. Dust and water. And by the way, you all look like pretty nice chunks of dust and water today. But what makes you different? An atheist would say, well, essentially we're all the same. When you die like a dog. Is that true? No, there's something unique about human beings. Every one of us has a never-dying soul. We have been made in the image of God. We've been given the capacity to choose to say yes or no to God. Dogs can't do that. Birds that sing in the trees can't do that. All the animals that God made can't do that. Only people can say no to God. And that attitude of saying no to God expresses the pride that can be in our hearts, and it describes the way God made us, because He doesn't want any of us to be robots. Now, robots are interesting things, aren't they? And all kinds of robots are being used just down the road here a little ways in making cars and many other ways that robots are being used. But God didn't make you to be a robot. He could have. Said, you got to love me and you will love me. No, He wants that love to flow from a heart that says, I really love you, Lord. I want to love you with all of my heart. And so I am to be humble because I want to come under the authority of Jesus Christ. You're different than a cat or a dog. You're a human being. And everybody, whether they have many capacities or little capacities, whether they can run the 100-meter dash at, wow, wasn't that fast? It's another world record set. Or whatever it might be. No, I can't do that. But our value is based not upon our doings, but on our being. Just simply, God made us. He made us precious in His sight. And that spirit of humility then allows me to accept people who may be a little different than I am, but to recognize God loves that person and I love them too. One other thing I want you to see here, and it's this. Expressing my attitudes towards others. Oh, you know, this expression of our attitude towards others actually reveals my attitude towards myself. If my attitude is a haughty one, a prideful one, then it is expressing that I've got this sin in my life. And sin messes up our attitudes. And that's why it says in one of the translations, Romans 12:16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. What's conceit? That's an exaggerated opinion of oneself. That's vanity. The way Peterson in his paraphrase called The Message says about this, he says, don't be stuck up, make friends with nobodies. I like that. Don't be a great somebody, he says. And Phillips, in his paraphrase, says, "Don't become snobbish. Take a real interest in ordinary people." Another translation says it this way: "Don't be arrogant, but be friendly to humble people. Don't think that you are smarter than you really are." So, in summary, you could say this: my attitude towards others reflects my attitude towards myself. Pride, self-importance. But also, our attitudes express our, reveals our attitude towards God. Because as we said, we've been made in the image of God, so to attack God's image bearers is actually to attack God. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25 about people who had been helping people with needs, he said, "Inasmuch as you've done it unto these, the least of them, you've also done it unto me." So the way I respond to people who are around me that maybe in the natural might I might not feel like embracing them, I'm actually expressing my ultimate attitude toward God Himself. So that's why Romans 12, 16 says it this way: "Do not be proud, do not be conceited." Do not be proud is to worship self rather than God. And when I show love and acceptance to people of low position, I show the love of Christ who stooped from heaven to save a sinner like me. Aren't you glad He stooped down here to save us sinners? And even as He reached down to us, we should be able to reach out to all those who are around us with the love of Jesus Christ. I remember the day that our son Stephen was born with his special needs. The doctor told us of his mental and physical impairments, and because we had a strong biblical awareness of who God is, our attitude towards God was not one of blame, "God, why did you do this?" But rather, what are you up to? It was one of acceptance and one of knowing that God does all things well, and He is omniscient. He knows everything. He knew how Stephen was developing in Adrian's womb. He's omnipotent, and He could have developed Stephen normal if He'd wanted to. And also, God is loving, and He brought this little guy into our lives to bless us and to be a blessing. But you see, it makes all the difference in the world as to your attitude towards who God is, which will make the difference in your attitude towards the people that are around you, the circumstances God brings into your life. Well, there's a third thing that is revealed. Expressing my attitudes towards others reveals my attitude towards things. You see, my attitude is wrong if things are more important to me than people and God. There's a translation of Ephesians 4:22 that says, "Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds." In the King James Version, it says, "In the spirit of your minds." And that's what it means, my attitude. Well, may God help us to have the right attitude. I believe that the most single, said Swindoll, Chuck Swindoll said this, "I believe the most single and most significant decision I can make on a day-to-day basis is my choice of attitude. It is more important than my past, my education, my bankroll, my successes or failures, fame or pain, what other people think of me or say about me, my circumstances or my position. Attitude keeps me going or cripples my progress. It alone fuels my fire or assaults my hope. When my attitude is right, there is no barrier too high, no valley too deep, no dream too extreme, no challenge too great for me." I should tell you this. as I close. A man by the name of David Redding tells this in his book entitled "Jesus Makes Me Laugh With Him." That's the title of the book. But he tells a story about a man by the name of Orville Kelly, who was informed 2 years ago that he had terminal cancer. He and his wife went home to cry and to die. And then they said, "Should we keep this a secret?" And they prayed. And the answer was that they should not just pray about it, but play about it. Listen to this. Did you hear that? Play about it. So they decided to give a big party. And they invited all their friends, and during the festivities, Orville held up his hand to make an announcement, and he said this, "You may have wondered why I called you all together. This is a cancer party. I have been told I have terminal cancer." And then my wife and I realized we are all terminal. So we decided to start a new organization. It is called the MTC, Make Today Count. And you all are charter members. It all has to do with attitude, doesn't it? And because they had their solar panels turned just right, I want you to see this next slide here. These are solar panels. Adrian and I, on Monday, and took our son Stephen to be with a bunch of folks from Benton Street Baptist Church on the shores of Lake Huron. And I swam in Lake Huron last Monday. But on our drive towards Kincardine, we saw a number of these solar panels. And a lot of farmers are getting into this now to make power. But those can swivel. And if you were to observe them in slow motion, they start out facing towards the east. And as the sun comes and moves across the sky, they turn like this. They're changing their attitudes always to be exactly in right attitude with the sun to pick up the power. And my question would be to you this morning, how are your solar panels? Have you got them in the right attitude to pick up the blessing that God has for you? I hope you have. And may I say this in closing, may you and I have the same attitude that Jesus had. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8 tells us his attitude. And I want for us to read this as we come to the table of the Lord. I'm going to read it to you in a few moments. But right now, I want for our worship team to come, and as we prepare to have the wonderful privilege of coming to the Lord's table and consider his attitude.